Yeah, something Sandy'd said, and I just wanted to bring it up prior to my message here. And she said this, that God holds out hope for the Israelites. He did that in Hosea. He did that all through the covenant that he had with them, and they blew it. And today, you know, it's not really a whole lot different. The modern day Israelites, as we know, and they're all around us, they're in all these different countries, Canada, US, Great Britain, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, anybody else know any other ones? These are all where the modern day Israelites, the descendants of ancient Israel, are living.
The Netherlands
and all through Europe. And if you think of what's going on, we do need hope, and that's the point of my message today. It's called The Hope for Creation. But she mentioned how God beckoned Israel back and give them hope. Now, in this particular message, I want to start off with that same word, H-O-P-E, nothing difficult about it, four letters in it. It's called The Hope for Creation. That's the title I've given it. And, you know, I looked in the concordance, my handy-dandy electronic concordance, and I didn't add them up, but hope's in there a whole lot of times. A whole lot of times. So that word is really special inside the Word of God. And we all use it quite often. I get up this morning, and I've been hoping for the last week for warmer weather. So, I mean, it's something that we think about, you know, all the time. Hope is built into our vocabulary. And it's not a strange word by any stretch of the imagination. But you know, back in the Garden of Eden, the first man and the first woman that were there were given something. Free moral agency. And we have it. Everybody has it. God has never stripped that away. It's the freedom to choose. Everybody chose to come here today, right? Nobody forced you. We all came of our freedom of choice. And you know, if we think about it for a second, I think Pastor Bill mentioned this last Friday evening, two Fridays ago actually, that Adam and Eve, this human creation of God, was probably the pinnacle point of the creation. He was doing something there really special. And Pastor Bill went to, I think it was Genesis 1, 26 or 7, somewhere in that vicinity, and he said that man has been created in the image of God. But he said something else that wasn't in there, but it really resonated with me. It was this. Man was created after the God kind. And this phase that we find ourselves in now is a human phase, this physical phase. Did he not say that? I think he did. And we're awaiting something with hope. We're waiting the next phase. Okay? So, because they did something there in the garden, they had this free moral agency, this free moral agency, I'll try not to go too quick and slur my words, but they were given this freedom to choose. And they did something that they weren't supposed to do. They took that fruit that God said, don't touch that one. For obvious reasons, so I won't go into that. But they did touch it. And they became damaged goods at that point in time because of that action. That freedom to choose that was wrong. Now, have you ever considered this for a minute? That each one of us sitting here today are damaged goods as well? We don't like to think along those lines, but it's true. Because in a sense, we're all broken and we're all damaged beings. Now, we're damaged in various ways, physically and spiritually. We're banged up, so to speak. This happens quite naturally, doesn't it? Just by the forces that control and corrupt the environment that we live in day by day. Some of us are damaged more than others, but no question about it, brethren, we're damaged. We're full of dents, we're full of rust, and all sorts of things if you want to look at it from that perspective. Most of us have been in our, probably our whole lives, developing what we call as impairments. Impairments came over time, just like an appliance or something you own, your car. When you buy a new car, how long does it last in a new state? It doesn't last very long, does it? If you drive around Lindsay, you go up the other end to Lindsay, and by the time you get to the other end, it's an old car. Because the roads are so rough. I always use that analogy. We get a new car at one end, by the time you get to the other end, it's a wreck. Well, that's what's going on with us. That's a cheap analogy. But we get banged up in our lives. I know a man sitting right in our midst here that's been in 5 knee operations?
Six.
Something like that.
I'm going for my 6.
Would you consider yourself being banged up physically? So my point.
Two shoulders, one elbow,
a couple knife wounds as well from your job?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the point I'm making. We developed these impairments, as I just said. And some of us, like machines, are banged up more than others. Others you can't see it at first, you know. But in time, when we hang around each other, become a little more closely related, we get to know somebody. We see that appliance over there, that Wilshaw, he's banged up. So we realize that we all have these defects. Okay? So what I want to touch upon today is that there's hope for us as damaged goods. And this hope is something that this whole creation which we live in is waiting for. Let's go to Romans 8. This is my big scripture. Let's turn there. Romans 8. The Apostle Paul here discusses the concept of our human frailties and how our hope lies in renewal of our damaged bodies. When? When our change comes. When we go from this, as Pastor Bill put it so eloquently, when we go from this physical that we're living in right now to the spiritual. And we know that the physical is temporary and the spiritual is going to be of a different state, isn't it? It's not my notes, but the word's permanent. It's going to be a permanent thing. We're looking forward to that. That's amazing hope. I'll pick it up. Where am I? Romans 8. Let me get my glasses first.
Thank you. Romans 8, 18 to 25, I believe.
Yes. I got a little heading. I got the New King James here. I got a little heading there. Starts off at 18, says, from suffering to glory. What's your say? Anybody got a King James with something in it that's different than that? From suffering to glory is what I have. Okay. 18. For I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan. Yeah, after 5 knee surgeries and a few shoulder operations, I'd be groaning too. Okay? Within ourselves, we groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For we were saved in this hope. There's that word, H-O-P-E. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Well, you know, this includes all of mankind who now are subjected to something. because of that Garden of Eden situation. We're subjected to death. It also impacts all of the creation. It says that right here. We just read it. Right there in Romans 8. I can imagine something that the first time that somebody, I don't know, maybe somebody at a podium or maybe somebody on TV or radio or one of your friends said that there's something going to happen. There's something incredible about to happen. Within our lifetimes, it's going to happen because you can't work out your salvation from the grave. So we need to become ready and we need to place our hope now. You can't do it from the grave. God is not in the process of forcing anybody to choose his way of life. He wants people to come willingly, and I think Sandy touched on that a little bit in her message. However, you know, first and foremost, the person has to actually hear the correct message in order to make a response. I don't have the ability to say who's hearing and not who's not hearing, because I'm only in a certain spot. But we have to always remember this. I think Sandy may mention this. We have to be responding and allowing the Word of God to change us, not some man that's taking the podium. And I'm taking the podium right now, but I'm not telling you to leave everything I say. Check it out here. If I'm saying something, it adds up with this. You should be okay with that. I'm not even a preacher, by the way. And you guys all know that. But I can remember back in the past, when I personally, and probably all you guys remember the same thing, I never had an interest in the Bible. Because I could say then, for sure, looking back at it, that I was without hope. But something happened that caught our attention, didn't it? And God's calling entered into our thoughts. And our outlooks started to change. Started to change with this little seed of hope. Once you caught the vision of what was happening, you didn't want to lose out on this amazing hope that God had revealed to you through his word. And we started to realize in our own particular times about the hope. We realized it was real. As long as we were willing to change. Somebody mentioned repentance here. Was it you? Yes. You mentioned repentance. It's key. A transformation has to come about, which requires a certain belief system. Have you ever heard this saying? All roads lead to Rome. Well, what? Okay, Rome. What about all roads? What am I trying to say here? All roads lead to Jerusalem. I'm saying Jerusalem. This is a better spot. Because I think all of us here can resonate with this. That's not my notes. But do you see a glass is going to be over Jerusalem? So for some reason in Jerusalem, they're going to see this sea of glass. I mean, we might see it on, what's the major news channel that's going to be available at that point? I haven't got a clue. What is it now? What's the major? CNN. Yeah, thank you. We might be watching on CNN for all I know. I mean, you can do it now on your cell phones, on your, everything now is hooked into media. So it could be a reality from seeing it just about anywhere. But a transformation had to come about, a certain belief system. Okay, the bottom line, we need faith in what we are beginning to understand as well. That comes out of the pages of the Bible. You can't just read the Bible. I mean, Pastor Bill said, faith is a big thing. We read it here in Romans 8 chapter about having hope in something that we can't see. It's called, faith is hooked in there. That's for sure. You know, there's another key, and it's Christ. He's the key. The Apostle Paul tells us there in Colossians 3, the first chapter, he says, seek the things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Seek those things. And we also realize that Christ holds the office for us, or with us, as our high priest. He is doing an atoning work for us. And Our hope, we hope, is going to find the fulfillment of our lives in Christ. Brethren, we know what? We can't save ourselves. Impossible. If we were ever hopeful that we could be good enough, or that we could please God often enough, or we could move Him to give us this eternal life, then we would have this hope based on our own efforts. And this is nothing more, this happens in religion. We have religions based on solely on works. We have that. Some people think that it's actually this way, based on works. Others believe that they're already saved. I heard that not long ago. I'm saved. What do you mean you're saved? I said to the individual, I'm saved. Well, don't you have to hold fast to the end to be saved? I know it's the script. Well, you can't go by that. What do you mean you can't go by that? So there are people that think they're saved now. And I suppose we're in a process of being saved now, as long as you're still holding fast. I guess there's an aspect of that, so I won't take that away. But we need hope. People that believe that these things I just mentioned are true, why would they need to have any hope? That would be really pointless, wouldn't it? If God has called us and His desire is to save us, then following through on our part has to be a key position in the equation. He is the one that has the power to bring us with Him into eternity. He has the power. We have no power. But, you know, we're not given all the details perfectly. You don't have all the perfect details. I don't have them. No human has them. But this eternal life is going to be something amazingly incredible. It's even difficult to come up with proper words of description. And there's nothing lacking, you know, on God's part. Remember, we're damaged goods, correct? Is God damaged goods? Not at all. But by faith, another virtue given to us by our Creator, we trust that the hope He has given us is true, and at some point, somewhere in the future, all this is going to be realized. Okay? From this sin, we realized our need to let patience have its place in our lives so that we don't become discouraged and possibly turn our back and lose out on this amazing gift that's awaiting us. Our faith should remain absolutely certain in the power and the willingness that God has to bring His children into His kingdom. In this faith that strengthens and informs our hope, there's really nothing lacking on the part of God or in His desire or His ability to complete His spiritual creation. And each and every one of us, none left out, our hope should be anchored in this truth. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6, the writer tells us there that God will never forsake us. The Lord is our helper. Why should we fear? What can man do to me? He can kill you physically, but he can't take your salvation. God holds that. So we must learn that our faith and our hope, they are like these interlocking gears, helping us to power our walk with God. Just as faith without works is not true living faith, so faith without hope is also meaningless. James 2:19 says, let me quote it, even the demons believe there is one God and tremble. Well, why? Why would a fallaway angel, why would a demon tremble? Because they're without hope. They have no good future to look forward to. But we do. Exclamation mark. We do. Let's look at Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Notice how the writer ties faith and hope so closely together. Our faith strengthens our hope, and our hope is realized by our faith. Hebrews 11, just the first verse. Hebrews 11:1. I may want to get to 11. Okay. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now these two virtues here we just read about are inseparable. Both have Jesus Christ as our end view, and they seem interchangeable at times. In other words, our hope strengthens our faith with the desire to believe God's promises, and our faith underpins our hope with that very belief. Our hope motivates us to right actions towards the future goal. And it becomes key in supporting the vision that we have of life eternal in the kingdom of God. What an amazing vision. And where it says in Proverbs 29:18, it says, and where there is no vision, the people perish. And I might add here on that it needs to be correct vision, because someone can have vision but not the right one. It has to come out of the book. Without a vision, we will be found standing still when we need to be preparing for our future. Godly hope will keep us looking forward, and that motivates us to work harder to strengthen our relationships with God and with each other, which allows us to develop our patience and ability to stand fast in the faith. As the world is weighed down in the sin that encapsulates it, we need to remember the hope of what is to come. We need to see it coming closer and closer to its promise of fulfillment with each and every passing day. Now, I'm going to end off here now, but I want to leave you guys with a positive position, because I think there's enough negative positions that go on during the week with all the situations and trials and things that we go through. I mean, they stack up, don't they? I want to leave you with this. Don't worry about turning to it, because I know you're going to focus. You're going to know where it's coming from. I'll tell you where it's coming from. Isaiah 11, God teaches us there that one day the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of God. One day, that's going to be a reality. When our change comes, we will no longer be broken or damaged. I've got machines down here, but we're not machines. We're not going to be damaged people at that time. But until that great day, let us be mindful of our need to keep ourselves from this world and remain separate, holding on to the hope of our salvation that is just ahead of us.